It's taken me some time to get over my generalized antipathy to the culture in which I live. It shows up in lots of different places. One is that we no longer have a culture in which a Good Friday service is the norm, which doesn't mean that many of you won't attend a Good Friday service, but many don't. Many are prevented because of work responsibilities and other things that were unknown even 50 or 60 years ago, let alone hundreds of years ago. And so the compilers of the Revised Common Lectionary and the church year overall have come up with a new thing that didn't exist all that terribly long ago called Palm Passion Sunday. For most of us when we were growing up, this last Sunday before Easter was Palm Sunday, and that was all there was to it. But as we've begun to realize that people can't get or are unable to get or don't want to get to a Good Friday service, we don't want to miss that. And so we put the two together, and for a while I looked at that as, at best, a tolerable imposition on the church here, as if I had something to say about it, really. And then from that point on, I moved on to say, well, what is actually here? And I realized that putting these two aspects of Christ's incarnation together is actually very helpful. And it allows us to do some things that we couldn't otherwise, because prior to this, we needed to maintain the tension between Palm Sunday and Good Friday for all of Holy Week, which I'm sure many of us can do, but for some of us it's difficult. And this Sunday puts the two of them before us. It's inescapable that there was both palms and what we call the Passion, the crucifixion of Jesus. And what we begin to think often, because we're the kind of people who like simple either or choices, as we look at this and we think, well, I wonder which one I was in. Was I in the first Mark reading or the second? Well, I have been one of those people with branches of some kind or putting my cloak in front of Jesus on his donkey? Or would I have been one of those people shouting, crucify him, just a few short days later? Well, I'll put it to you that this is another false paradox. It's another example of the excluded middle, if you will, because if we spend all of our time saying we are one or the other, well, we're going to have difficulties there, because we're both. We don't know for sure, because nobody was taking attendance. Chances are pretty good that some of the people who were praising Jesus on the one day were also shouting, crucify him, a few days later. On our good days, we want to think that we were the kind of people who were only shouting Hosanna, and it would never have crossed our mind to be part of the crowd that shouted, crucify him. And then when we're having those other sorts of days when we think we can't do anything right, and we've never done anything right, and we never will do anything right, because many of us have those days, we think, well, we wouldn't have been in that first crowd, we'd have only been in the second. But really, we're in both, because we live in a fallen world and we represent the reality of sin in our very own lives, while simultaneously representing the goodness of God in those lives as well. We might like to choose one or the other. We might like to say we are one or the other, but we can't, because when we look at our own lives, we realize that we have done those things that fit in both sides. All of us have done things that we wish we wouldn't have. And I'm not just talking about those things that in retrospect we say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I'm talking about those things that I'm sure all of us have done, I know I have, that we knew were wrong from the very beginning. We continued on them anyway and enjoyed doing them at the time. The thought process goes something like this: I hate that person, I want to hurt them, so I will, and I'm happy I did. I think we've all done that in one way or another. In retrospect, we go, that was wrong. How could I have done that? Well, we did that because that's part of the kind of person we are. But that's not the only kind of person we are. That's not the only thing that sums us up, because all of us have also had those moments when we looked at something and we said, we need to do this because it needs to be done and it's going to cost me something. Maybe money. Maybe part of my reputation with a particular group of people. Maybe I'll be embarrassed because I had to walk across the street To give something to a homeless person in front of other people who would never do such a thing, whatever it might be, we've done those too. We're both of these things. We do both of them by turns. We want the easy solution to say something is either this or it's that. And there's so few things that break down that easily. Human beings aren't an arithmetic problem. If you're adding two and two, the answer is four or it's wrong. When you're talking about people, it's not that simple. We do both of these things. We have our feet squarely in both camps. That camp that wants to exalt Jesus in all that we do, and at this, that other camp that wants to do what we want to do because we want to fit in, because we want to be comfortable, because we don't want to do what's hard. The amazing thing is that Jesus came knowing we were like that. Neither of these behaviors are a surprise to God. And Jesus didn't come just for the one. Jesus didn't come just for the people who are only in the Hosanna crowd. If there ever has been such a person who is only in that crowd, Jesus didn't need to come for them. Jesus came for us. People who at one point are praising Jesus with every part of our being, as far as we can tell, and not that long later are doing things that we find reprehensible in anyone, particularly us, because we know better. We do them anyway. And sometimes we think, how could God care about someone like me? How could Jesus love me? Well, he can. And he demonstrated it by coming to this earth, to taking on this form. Philippians says that he didn't see those things that were only for God as something he had to hold on to. He gave them up. We don't know all what that means, but we know that he gave up things that were valuable and good so he could come here and be with us. And in that last week, he demonstrated that he was with everyone. We don't know everything about the incarnation, of course, but we do know that Jesus was still God. We know that Jesus went to the cross willingly. He stayed with those people on purpose, in the same way that he stayed with those people who threw palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna, praise God, because of you," is what they were saying. He came for both. He came for both then. He came for both now. Jesus knew what he was walking into. When Jesus became a human being just like us, he knew that the people he was going to be with were going to be people who could somehow simultaneously love him and hate him at the same time, who could simultaneously do what he needed them to do and what they wanted to do and not at the same time. I sometimes look at this paradox, if you will, of us and think, how could that be? How could that work? And then I think of Peter. Peter, one of the inner circle of Jesus' closest friends, his disciples. Peter, who walked on the water to come out to Jesus. Peter, who denied he even knew him. Peter, who Jesus said, "It's upon you I'm going to build my church." We all have our moments of glory. We all have our moments of doing exactly what we need to do. But we also have those other moments. Palm Passion Sunday reminds us that Jesus is here for it all. Not just the good parts and not just the bad parts, but all of it. Us as full-fledged, rounded human beings with all of our glories and all of our faults. He He came for us as we are. We somehow sometimes have this idea that we need to tidy ourselves up and then go to God. It doesn't work that way. We go to God, and that's when the tidying begins. I don't know where you're finding yourself on this continuum, because that's what it is these days, whether you're finding yourself closer to one crowd or the other. But what I can tell you beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt, that Jesus loves you wherever you are. If you're right in the middle of the crucified crowd shouting, he loves you just as much as when you're in the other. Because he knows what we are. He knows who we are. He knew what we were going to do and why we were going to do it. He knows everything about us and came anyway. Because if we are two different people when we behave in these different ways, and we're not, but if we were, he loves both of those people. And because we have those aspects within us, he loves us no matter what. We're called to be more like Jesus every day. We're called to be like Jesus because he loves us, not because by becoming like Jesus he loves us. We move into Holy Week thinking into the future. And we want to rush ahead to Easter Sunday, the best day of the year. We want to be there. And I understand that because I want to do that too. But if there's one thing years of the church year has taught me, is that Easter Sunday becomes more real, more significant, more wonderful if we spend some time pondering Good Friday. Spending some time in the silence of Holy Saturday. Wherever you find yourself this week, I hope you'll take the time to think of both sides of you, of all of you. Not looking for what you're more of or what you're less of, but looking at yourself and saying, this is the person for whom Jesus came. Amen.